Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being with us today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Melinda Salento. I am the Chief Executive Officer of the Committee for Economic Development of Australia, and it's really nice to see so many of you here today to learn about some of our own research. Can I start by acknowledging that we meet on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and pay my respects to elders past, present and future for their work as custodians of this land, but also of culture and traditions and of sharing those with all of us in the spirit of reconciliation. As you'll hear from me today, one of the things that CEDA is very focused on doing is addressing issues of disconnect. And I do think one of the great areas of disconnect that we need to address in Australia at the moment is a shared understanding of our history and the perspectives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander on that history, both before white arrival and since, and having a conversation about that so that we connect ourselves in a more positive and constructive way, if I can put it that way. So, as I said, I would like to pay my respects to the Wurundjeri people. Can I also thank our sponsors for today, Senate SHJ, for their support for CEDA and for this event in particular. It helps us, obviously, to host these kinds of events and to get our ideas and information to the widest possible audience. Many of you are members who've hosted corporate tables. It's great to see you all here as well. And we appreciate your support, as always. Now, a bit more admin if I can do that. We love you to follow us through social media as we have these events. You can do so today at CEDA_news with the hashtag CompanyPulse. But please do so with your phones on silent if you wouldn't mind. We sometimes have media in the room. I'm not sure if we do today. If we do, thanks for being with us. The run sheet for today is going to go roughly like this. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of our research. Then Alison Kitchener from KPMG is going to come up and offer a few opinions on the topic. Then we'll have lunch and then come back up for a panel discussion, which you will have plenty of opportunity to engage in, both through roaming mics on the floor, which is the format that you would be familiar with if you've been at a CEDA event before, but also we are trialling some new technology for those of you who might like to ask questions without standing up and speaking at lunch. And you can do so via the app Pigeonhole. And you can get there by going ceda.pigeonhole.at. The details are up there. And the passcode is Vic Company Pulse. So have a squiz at that. And you'll be able to fire some questions up through the app to us as well. So I think that's the bulk of my administrative duties now completed. Let me then now turn to the purpose of today's lunch, which is to talk to you about CEDA's Company Pulse research. Now I'll make sure I'm going the right way. I'm going the wrong way. This is why they don't let me control these things. Am I working against someone here? There we go. The Company Pulse survey is a survey of around 3,000 people from around the country, which CEDA undertook to understand community attitudes towards business, the perceptions of business performance, and their views around the priorities for business. We undertook the research really to try to get a handle on this conversation that's being had around the role of business in our economy and in our society, but also the conversation that's going on around trust and trust in business and declining trust in business and big business in particular. And we're all familiar with the headlines and the media reporting of this, and what we thought we would do is actually go out and get some data ourselves to try to understand how the community is seeing business at the moment. And really, one of the reasons we wanted to do that is because trust is a pretty big issue to try to unpack. And so what we thought would be a useful way into that was to try to understand what the community thinks business should be doing. In other words, what does doing the right thing mean to the community? And how do business leaders see that? So our survey is 3,000 people from around the country, as well as a smaller group of business leaders, C-suite executives, who responded to exactly the same questions. And it allows us to get a perspective on the extent to which there is alignment or disconnect between those two groups, and then to have a conversation about what we might do about it. Interestingly, as we were doing this work, we went back and had a look at some work that we did in 1976. The social responsibility of corporations in 1976. Can I say it was written in a slightly different style than we might write today, but it was really, really interesting to go back and have a look at that work. And one of the things I found in doing so was a quote from Jeff Allen, who many of you will know, from 1976 that went exactly as this. There is a widening gap between what business sees as its proper role and what the community is coming now to expect of it. From 1976. So this is a conversation that we've had for a while, and as I've said elsewhere, it's almost sort of everything old is new again. And there's a couple of other pieces of insight that come from that report that I'll reflect on as I just quickly run through the results from this survey. So I've given you the background on why we've done it and respondents. So one of the things that we asked through the survey was what the community thought big business should be focused on. Should they be focused just on their economic or financial performance, or should they be focusing on other areas of their performance, their impacts on the environment, their impacts on communities and social issues? And there was a very strong response, which was basically that roughly three quarters of the community felt that business should be equally, and I stress that word, equally focused on economic, social and environmental performance. So that was sort of a headline result, and you'll see there that business leaders agreed with that. So almost 90% of business leaders feeling that that statement is the accurate statement, that business should be focused equally on all three of these things. We also asked respondents how they thought business was performing across a range of issues. Things like, are they paying fair wages? Are they dealing with customers responsibly? Are they employing people with equal opportunity? And on the whole, this is a glass half full story, perhaps somewhat surprisingly when you think about the media headlines. The majority of people saw the performance of big business favourably across quite a few performance indicators that we highlighted. There were two areas where less than 50% of people were prepared to say that business was performing well, and they were in those two areas, fair and correct tax contributions and managing impacts on the environment. Now, here's the other point I wanted to make, drawing back to our 1976 research, which is that point about paying fair and correct taxation was a theme in that research. This was a point of contention way back then as well. So this is not something new. It is a lingering area of disconnect for the community. I should say we had this survey in the market, so to speak, in April. So when we released it, we probably released it into a slightly different public conversation than we were expecting at the time. But one of the things we also asked was whether the community was accepting of business leaders speaking out on issues and what kind of issues. And again, a really strong result from the community, with 78% of the general public saying that it was acceptable for business leaders to be speaking out on a broad range of issues, including social and environmental issues. So I think that was a pretty strong result. And while I think at times there are efforts to sort of present a divided view of community attitudes in this space, when we looked across the survey, and the survey is robust across different age groups, it is statistically robust across different geographic locations, when you look at the results, there isn't a glaring difference across the country. And we looked at the result in the urban centres, and we looked at the results in regional and more remote areas. And yes, there will be differences. There will be differences that are statistically significant, but this fundamental fact that the majority of people support this and accept business leaders speaking out remains absolutely robust. The interesting point, though, is that when the community is asked in whose interests are business leaders speaking out, there is still a degree of scepticism. So there is still a view that business leaders are speaking out in support of their interests or their company's interests, which I think we can perhaps have a conversation about with the panel about what that means, and therefore if you are... So business leaders think they're speaking out very clearly in the national interest, but there is a disconnect there. So we might want to reflect on that when we get to the panel conversation. One of the other things that we did in the survey, which we did to try to help inform our own forward agenda, is to ask the community as well as business leaders what they think the priorities for business should be. What are the things that they should be focused on? And we gave people a range of choices, about 30 different things, and they had to choose, they would get presented with different combinations of these issues, and they had to repeatedly choose which was the most important, which was the least important. And the range of factors were things like things that dealt with the treatment of employees in the workplace, the treatment of suppliers, the provision of goods and services, impacts on social outcomes, etc. And we got actually a lot of alignment in response to that question as well. Now, you're going to see a lot of information on here, so let me tell you how to quickly translate it. Everything that's in colour on this slide are issues that both the community and business leaders had in their top 10. So of the top 10, 8 of the items or priorities were the same for the community and for business. The ones in black were areas where the community thought were important and business didn't, or vice versa. So let me say that when you just look through that, and here's the next one that gets you all 10, the thing that stands out is actually there's a lot in colour there. So 8 of 10 of these issues are the same. There is really strong alignment on things like the importance of providing the highest quality products and services, investing in staff wellbeing, training and career development, impacts on local communities, et cetera, et cetera. Let me call out, and here I'll give you the full list here, that's where the alignment exists. I'll give you a quick moment to have a look at that. These were the disconnects. And let me quickly tell you how to interpret this chart. So on the your left, the green one, that's the priorities from the general public's perspective. The bars are the general public's prioritisation of those issues, and the blue dots as business leaders. And you can see, let me call out two areas of disconnect. Improve staff wages and bonuses, and provide products and services at the lowest prices. So these are issues that the community thinks are really important, but they are not on the list of the priorities of business leaders themselves. And on your right, in the blue square, it goes exactly the opposite way. The bars are business leader priorities and the green dots are the general public. The top two areas of disconnect there are investment in research and development and investment in new technologies. Now, the interesting thing here is that two of those issues are opposite sides of the same coin. So investing in new technologies, investing in research and development to drive productivity is, of course, one of the pillars that will support sustainably higher wages. So this is a really important area of disconnect that we think around which there needs to be quite a significant focus and conversation. Of course, I'm going to encourage you to have a look at the report, but what I'm doing is skating through some of the headline results. There is a tremendous amount of information in here that can be sliced and diced in all sorts of different ways. One of the other things we said asked survey respondents was, who do you think the most important stakeholders for a business are? And then we asked another question, which is, if there is a technological advance that results in lower costs that can be passed on to those stakeholders, how should that be distributed? And here is another disconnect. So when business leaders were asked who their most important stakeholders were, the most important stakeholder was customers. And then when we asked them, what about this technology improvement, the number one stakeholder for passing on the benefits was shareholders. And then if you go back to the priorities, customers are looking for lower cost products. Businesses aren't thinking about lower cost products. And here is another area of disconnect, which I think sort of sits right at the heart of some of the conversations we're having around shareholder and stakeholder value at the moment. We also asked about ethical behaviour. Very strong agreement across the general community and business leaders that the community now has higher expectations. And then that sort of alignment drifts away a little bit. Has ethical behaviour improved? Business leaders say yes, community says no. Now, anyone who sits on a board, as I do, knows that the conversation around the boardroom has changed. But that's not getting through from my reading of these survey results. Is it harder for larger companies to get away with unethical behaviour? Business leaders say yes, community says no. And then let's get to the bottom point where, once again, there is agreement. Is the government taking strong action against unethical behaviour? No one thinks that that is the case. Now, let me timestamp this a bit. This was in the market before some of the response to the Hayne recommendations, so that may have moved, but I think that was an interesting area of alignment across both business leaders and the community. Let me briefly touch on some differences in Victoria. As I said, my take on this is that overall, the community understands a broad role for business and has a high expectations for business, and that is an accurate statement across the whole country, across a wide range of issues. There were some interesting differences, and for the sake of calling them out in Victoria, my team looked at this and went, most of them who live in Victoria said, oh, yes, because we're a progressive state. But results show that Victorians were more inclined to say that large companies should do as much as possible to improve the whole of country's social performance and the whole of country's environmental performance. And they were also a tougher judge around business performance and were less likely to rate the performance of businesses as good. So I will leave it there and invite Alison to the stage to provide her sort of take on these results. Alison, I won't go through your long CV. She is, of course, the national chairman of KPMG in Australia. KPMG are tremendous supporters of CEDA's work, and so we're very grateful to have Alison come up and present a different perspective on, or maybe the same perspective on, our results. Thank you.